All right, let's start off by giving someone a chance to win a gift certificate from Sorgel. So you have to be the 10th caller at 412-922-1020. And now Zach will begin answering those 10 callers, and maybe you'll be the lucky listener. But we're always lucky to have Doug here. Next week for Father's Day, he'll be rolling with the Rolling Stones in Cleveland. So Steve Rapaski, Berg Bee Control, Sweet Apiaries, all those other great things that he does, he'll be here spending time with us. But today it's Doug taking your calls, and I know he wants to get to some of your questions after some opening remarks. So 866-391-1020. And also, Luke's here today, Davy Tree Talking Tree. So without further ado, the man that spends his summers on the road with the Rolling Stones, Doug Oster, DougOster.com. So how was the show in Orlando?
It was incredible. We snuck in and got really close. So it was
good to say amazing. That now on the World Wide Web.
Well, you know what? That's part of going to a concert, you know. Sometimes things just click and you end up like in
how
a line.
How close were you?
Like five rows back, right?
Is that the closest you've ever been?
No, I was about that close once. I had to review a show in Columbus once when I worked for the Post-Gazette. It wasn't a good Stones show either. Here's the thing.
Did you write it was a bad Stones
show? Oh, yes. I compared the guitarist to Fat Elvis. Yeah, it didn't go over too well. But it was that was an era where the guitar players were drinking heavily before the show, and it showed, you know.
What year was that, Doug?
2006, something like that, somewhere along
there.
Steel
Wheels Tour, maybe.
No, that's 89. This was like one of those licks or something like that. I don't know.
But how did they look in Orlando, though?
Oh, it was incredible.
Sounded good?
It was great. The sound is amazing. You just can't, you know, you see it on YouTube, but when it's
not the same.
Music live, it was great. It was really fun. You know, it's hot, though.
Inside the Tropicana, was hot inside there?
It's Camping World Stadium, it's called.
Oh, okay. So yeah. They're not at the Trop anymore.
No, it was Camping World Stadium.
Where are they going to be in Cleveland? For the Browns?
Browns Stadium.
Okay, well, enjoy.
So my old stomping grounds will be back in Cleveland.
But one thing is for sure, it is amazing when you think they're still doing this at this level.
You know,
I mean, they're filling up places like Taylor Swift, and they got 40-some years
Swift. Camping World was sold out. I don't know if Cleveland is or not, but yeah, it was great.
All right, what do you got?
Well, first off, the first thing that when I walked in the studio today, Zach here has got a heck of a garden going on.
He's the man.
His first garden, and he might be taking over. Maybe we'll put him in here instead of Rapaski.
He could do it, man.
He's got these big tomato plants with big tomatoes on them already. So it's exciting. It's exciting to see him.
Well, maybe I will get some tomatoes from Zach this year.
I gave you tomatoes last year.
Four.
Well,
it's better than nothing.
Yeah. What do you expect?
A dozen? A bushel?
They don't come in like that.
I know they don't.
Get some tomatoes from him.
Or
then.
I could do the next best thing: actually grow my own tomatoes.
You could at your place.
Well, we got some home improvements to do first.
Well, you just buy a big tomato plant and stick it in a container and put it out there by your garage.
I do love tomatoes, though. Boy, I love tomatoes.
There's nothing like them.
How'd the plant swap go?
Oh, man, it was great. I'm going to be posting a video today that shows the plant swap, that shows this amazing garden that I helped plant in Duquesne at a place called Orchard Park. Plus, it has a bunch of other garden stuff in it. And the plant swap was a scream. We had lots of people. Even though it was a rainy day, we had lots of people and lots of crazy plants, some good stuff. So we got a little gardening to talk about. My deer fence is working, but I'm going to upgrade. It's one of those, I bought one just in a panic, and it's like bird netting. It's not going to last. I'm going to go with a real thick plastic deer fencing that's more expensive, but I've had them before and they last at least 20 years. A listener sent me a video of a robot dog. They said this dog could patrol the garden, and so I thought that was pretty funny. So I am on the road today too. I'd love for you to come out and join me at 1 p.m. today at Bedner's Farm and Greenhouse. It's off the I-79 exit south of the city, the Bridgeville exit, and it's part two of my, their Seed to Supper program. It's a free vegetable gardening workshop. I'll be covering succession planting, vegetable container planting, along with showing lots of tips and tricks to keep that garden thriving through the summer. If you happen to attend the first class, be sure to come today. And again on September 8th, because if you come to all three, you get a free flat of cool weather plants on that September 8th. So just go to bednarsgreenhouse.com to register. As I said, it's free, but they want to know how many people are coming. And my sold-out trip to the national parks had a cancellation. I did have four seats, and now I've got two seats still open. We're going to Scottsdale. We're going to see the Grand Canyon, Bryce Canyon, Salt Lake City, Grand Teton, Yellowstone, Grand Teton and Yellowstone National Parks, Old Faithful, Bighorn Mountains, Crazy Horse Memorial, Mount Rushmore, and much, much more. If you'd like information on that trip, as I said, there's only two seats left. Go to DougOster.com. Thursdays at 5 o'clock, I do my free online gardening classes, and we have a lot of fun. It's interactive, and so we talk back and forth during the class. And this week I'm talking about it's not too late to start a garden, because it is not. And even though Zach's got tomatoes on his plants already, you could get some big plants right now, stick them in the ground. Everything is at DougOster.com. And I'm going to be on Pittsburgh Today Live this Thursday, 9 a.m. It's National Weed Your Garden Day. And so I was thinking, National Weed Your Garden Day. And so I pitched Cooking with Weeds. I'm going to be making some great dishes with dandelions and some other weeds. It's going to be a lot of fun. And so tune in to PTL on Thursday and come join me today at Bedner's at 1 o'clock. I would love to talk to you today. Don't be shy. If you do call and talk to us, it's just like we're talking on the phone. You know, I answer so many garden questions over the week, and I'm happy to do it, but I would love to talk to you today. It's 866-391-1020, and I do have a few garden questions from people that I, you know, again, like I do this every day. I get garden questions and happy to do it and try and help people out. Karen says that her husband put a mixture of potting soil, garden soil, topsoil, and Garden Magic's compost with manure. I'm concerned about the manure with my fresh vegetables and E. coli. And so that is a concern, but that's only a concern for fresh manure. And so if you've got fresh manure, you cannot use it. It will burn the plants, and it could possibly have E. coli on it. If you put fresh manure on something like lettuce or something like that, it could splash up. You could have E. coli. So manure should be a year old before you use it. But in this case, and I talked to Karen about it, the Garden Magic compost with manure has been aged, and they're selling it in the bag. So there's no worries about that. Just because it says manure, we know that it's safe and good to use. And that sounds great. A mixture of potting soil, garden soil, topsoil, and compost with manure. You're going to have a garden that's going to go nuts. And as we talk about all the time, this is the key to having a great garden. Having a green thumb is improving the soil. And I know I might sound like a broken record, but I'm always talking to people, talking about their garden. And you don't want to just throw your plants into the ground. Let's say, I'm going to be doing this class Thursday about it's not too late to start a garden. And we want to improve that soil first. And all the nurseries still have just really nice looking plants. And especially if you want to, like in Rob's case, Rob wants, you know, he loves tomatoes. And so you could buy a decent sized plant. And like today when I'm at Bednar's, I will go through, I'm sure I will get some cucumbers. They always have these big cucumber plants. I'll probably get a big tomato plant because, again, I'm replacing some of those tomatoes that got nailed by the deer. But actually about those tomatoes, you know, some of them got like cut in half, just leaving the bottom leaves. But they're sprouting. I'm leaving them because they're weird varieties, and I couldn't replace them, so I'm leaving some of those. Now, some just got pulled out of the ground, and so those need to be replaced. And again, at the plant swap, lots of people, and thank you so much, lots of people brought me tomatoes so that I could replant in my garden. But so far, so good on that that fence. I did have another question. Carol says, Doug, when should we plant our green bean seeds? I know you answered this on your show, but I lost the paper I wrote it on. This happens all the time, too. People listen, and they're just like, wait, what did he say? And so green beans go in right now, but there is a window, especially for bush beans. that goes all the way into July. And again, this is on that same theme of, yes, you can still plant a garden later in the season. And in many cases, later in the season is better because things have warmed up. So it's time to put those green bean seeds in. I love pole beans, and I do some bush beans. I'm growing a bush bean this year that I found in Italy. It's a red bean, like a red striped bean called Borletta. Borletta or Borletto, I can't remember. But it's just so beautiful, and I can't wait to see what it does. The deer did take about half that crop, but they're coming back. All right, when we come back, give me a call. I want to talk to you. I want to answer your garden questions. 866-391-1020.
866-391-1020. Doug's talking gardening with you next on The Organic Gardener. All right, tell him about Davy Tree coming up, and we'll go to the phone.
Yeah, we're going to talk about pruning today with Luke Warner, especially pruning on things that are spring flowering. And we got a lot of other stuff to cover, weather issues and all sorts of stuff. So Luke will be on here at 7:30. I'm looking forward to talking to him.
All right, so say good morning to Doug in Elwood, Doug.
Hey, Doug, it's another Doug. How are you, Doug?
I am great. I have a question for you. My wife and I are really enjoying fresh lettuce from our garden, and we were talking about it. And is there some way we could plant lettuce in a planter and put in a bay window and have the fresh lettuce all winter?
Definitely. You know, it's not going to grow quite as well as what you're doing now. And let's go back to your garden lettuce. One thing that I'll be talking about today at Bedner's at 1 o'clock is about this thing I do call succession planting. With your lettuce, keep planting now for the garden season, because the lettuce you have now, it's not going to make it all the way until tomato season. So keep planting every few weeks, and you'll have a nice supply of lettuce. But yeah, lettuce will grow on the windowsill. You know, a leafy lettuce like a black-seeded Simpson or red sails, something like that, it's going to kind of limp along. It would actually be happier with a little bit of extra light. And if you just, there's some little things you can buy like at a nursery that have an LED light, and then you could be doing your lettuce all winter without any problem at all.
The LED light, would that be just typical grow light?
It's more of a white light. You don't need the spectrum for growing because it's not flowering. And so, like, if you go to just look around at a garden center, there'll be a little system there where it's inexpensive, where it just has a little light on top that comes up and down. And then your lettuce would just go nuts. Do you know what kind of lettuce you're growing in the garden?
I have the black-seeded Simpson. It is doing wonderful.
Yeah, that's a good one. But what's going to happen, though, it's going to get hot, and then it's going to do something called bolting. It's going to go to seed, and it's going to be done. So you want to get some more black-seeded Simpson in. And actually, if you can find one at a nursery, its cousin is called Simpson Elite. And Simpson Elite lettuce, and it's pretty common to find, it's a better summer lettuce than black-seeded Simpson. Black-seeded Simpson loves it cool. But, I mean, you'll be fine with the black-seeded Simpson, but just keep planting, and you'll be good with your lettuce, and then grow some on the windowsill in the winter too, okay?
On the windowsill, would it be better if it has the morning sun or the evening sun?
Morning sun is always best.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thanks for your call.
All right, let's go to Kim in McCandless talking spinach with Doug Oster, DougOster.com, the organic gardener, KDKA. Hi, Kim.
Hey, Doug.
Hey, what's
up? I
have
a question.
Okay.
What is the window for planting spinach, lettuce, you know, that family? Like, I didn't plant mine yet. Usually have them by now. And you said to go ahead and plant it. But when is it usually too hot and it bolts? Is there a time?
So the spinach, the window is closed. But take a look at this stuff called Malabar spinach or New Zealand spinach. And it's not actually a real spinach, but it's tastes similar to spinach. And then also one more suggestion for the spinach would be a plant called perpetual spinach, and it's actually a Swiss chard, but it has more of a texture and a flavor like spinach. But for other leafy greens, like your lettuce, you're good to plant every couple weeks, every few weeks. You might get a hot spell or a hot dry spell where they would bolt, but you just keep planting, and the lettuce will be fine. Was there anything else you were thinking about planting?
Arugula,
that's good to go right now. You're going to have to wait for your spinach until September to plant that, because it gets too hot. It just bolts.
Well, what about, you said New Zealand is one of them. What was the other one?
It's called Malabar spinach. It grows like a vine, and it has a glossy heart-shaped leaf that tastes a lot like spinach, and it loves heat. And okay. You could find seeds at a local nursery.
Okay.
All
well,
right.
I appreciate your help, Doug.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Good luck.
Here is Ron in West Mifflin talking tomatoes with Doug Oster. Hey, Ron. All right, let's try Lee in New Kensington. Hey, Lee.
Hi, I have a holly, blueberries and strawberries, and a hydrangea question. When do you add a holly tone or blueberry or berry tone to the strawberry and blueberries? Which one do you use, and when do you add it?
So for the blueberry, we use holly tone just because blueberries love acidic soil. Strawberries, I mean, it would be okay to throw the holly tone on there, but, you know, it's formulated for acidic-loving plants. For the strawberries, I'd probably put, like, yeah, the berry tone or even garden tone would be fine for that. But, you know, anything, if you already have the holly tone, it's a great fertilizer. It would be fine for all those fruits.
And when do you add it to the blueberries?
You could do it any time in the season. You know, I like to do it a little earlier than this, but if you haven't done it yet, it'd be fine to put it on now. You could put it on any time in the season you want, and it's going to help the plant.
What about strawberries? When do you add that?
Early on, you know, again, you could do it any time, but I would want to put it on before they start putting berries on just because I want to help it put on more berries. But if you didn't, it wouldn't be any problem at all to put it on right now.
Very good. And a hydrangea plant, I transplanted. Any special care for a hydrangea?
When did you transplant it?
About 2 weeks ago.
It's going to need water. You know, luckily we've had some rain, we've had some clouds. Let it get established. Again, I would also, after it gets established, I would continue fertilization with that, any one of those fertilizers we just talked about. But be sure that if we don't get rain, that once a week you are really watering it early in the morning, you're really soaking it in. Once it catches on, it'll be fine. But we don't want it to dry out and get to like mid-July when we have, you know, those long periods of dry weather. So keep it watered. Throw the hose down at the bottom of it. Let it run for about 15 minutes once a week if we don't get rain, and you'll be fine. It'll catch on.
And how much fertilizer for the hydrangea?
It's on the back of the packet. You know, always follow the application rate on the back of the packet for the size of the plant. You can't really screw it up, but if you put too much on, the plant can't use it, and then it just washes away. You're wasting your money. So look at those rates on the back always. All right?
Thank you so much, Doug.
Thanks for your call.
All right, tell them what's coming up, Doug.
Well, we're going to be talking to Luke Warner from the Davy Tree Expert Company. We're going to talk all about pruning. We've got a lot of things to talk about as far as the weather is concerned and how our trees are doing. And then don't forget, I'll be at Bednar's Farm and Greenhouse today, 1 o'clock, for my free vegetable gardening workshop. We're going to have a lot of fun there.
All right, so coming up after the news at 8 today, we're going to be in the kitchen, Coon's Cooking Hour today, burgers, steaks, and more, a week away from Dad's Day, so get out the grill. And then, of course, it's the Best Of Edition, the Tri-State Neuropathy Center. She's Dr. Sean Ritchie, Accurate Solutions, and then 2 hours of the best hometown sports talk show anywhere, the Coon's Market, Black and Gold Sunday Show, all still to come on KDKA.
Well, glad to welcome Luke Warner from the Davy Tree Expert Company to the show. Good morning, Luke.
Good morning, Doug. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good. How are you doing? We're going to talk a little bit about pruning today, but how has the season been for you, the start of the season for you guys?
It's progressing really well. I mean, it seems like every year it just goes faster and faster, and I mean, I can't believe we're already in the first week of June now. It's unbelievable.
Have the storms impacted your work?
They have slightly, and it really depends. They've been so localized. One storm comes through and you know, it'll hit a neighborhood of Pittsburgh, but it misses everybody else. So it's kind of, hit and miss with the storms, but we don't always sit at home and wait for storms, so that always can just throw a little bit of a headache into the mix sometimes.
And how about rain? Are we doing pretty good with rain as far as trees are concerned?
We were. April was challenging, to say the least. It seemed to rain about every single day that month, but we are beyond that and, kind of probably more into the normal swing of things. So, rain's kind of constant right now or consistent of, what's needed. It kind of depends on what you have going on, Allison, what you want, though.
So let's talk a little bit about pruning. And I was thinking specifically things like dogwoods and rhododendrons, azaleas, stuff that they put that bud on after they're done flowering, and there's a certain window when we can prune them. Are we in that window?
It always depends on, you know, what type of plants they are. But like you said, the dogwoods, I think some of the more common trees we deal with in pruning is, the dogwoods, crab apples, red buds, a lot of the, you know, fruit trees. But pruning in, you know, late spring, early summer, you know, a few weeks after they are done flowering. So on those trees, you know, we're in that point now. So we are safe to prune. And if we do that now, after they're done flowering, we're not losing more of the flower buds for next year. Knowing that if you do prune if you do prune too early, you'll be taking the flower buds off.
Right.
But after they flower, you're not going to be losing as many of those, and because they're setting their buds for the following year. So you do open them up to a little bit of insect pests. But you have to know what your goals are of the pruning. Is it health and vigor, aesthetics, flower set, fruit production? There's a lot of different things that can determine when you want to prune your trees.
What would be the best way for people to learn to prune the right way? Because kind of in my mind, it's a combination of kind of art and science. Do you concur with that, or how do you look at pruning?
No, I concur 100% with that. I mean, every arborist is going to prune a tree a different way. And that doesn't mean one's doing it correctly and one's doing it incorrectly. It's like, you know, it is an art. So some interpretation comes into that, but ultimately they're looking at a lot of the same things. If it is maybe younger trees, they're looking at removing maybe some stubs, rubbing branches, water sprouts. looking at to kind of shore up that tree, take away some weak or narrow crotch branches. But if they're working on more established trees, they're probably looking at, you know, overall canopy density reduction or crown thinning, raising the crown. If the tree is stressed, looking at crown reduction. So they might have the goals in mind, and the goals may be the same for each arborist, but ultimately they're going to prune a tree and go through it in a different way.
So for us as homeowners, one thing that's important is that we're pruning smaller trees, smaller branches, and our feet never leave the ground, right?
Mm-hmm. Correct. Yep.
And so talk a little bit about just the basic, if I'm got my feet on the ground, I've got a branch that I know that I need to remove. I'm looking at it, whether it might be deadwood or it might be a crossing branch or something. In many cases, we don't want to cut right at the trunk of the tree. We want to move out a little bit, right?
Yes. Yeah. You're going to have a three-step cut there. And before, you know, you ever make a cut, I always tell everybody is like, you know, take a moment, step back mm-hmm. to where you can see the overall picture of the tree, walk around the tree. Cause you have to remember is when you take that limb off, you know, it's gone. There's no taping it back on. There's no gluing it back on. If you make a bad cut, now you have to deal with those consequences, you know, moving forward. So it's so important to take your time and do it correctly the first time. So if you're standing underneath of the tree, oftentimes people think of canopy raising or elevating that canopy, because when they're mowing the grass, they're always having to duck around it. Mm-hmm. You know, you can get that limb, get your handsaw, come out away from the tree a good ways, and take, you're going to be taking that limb off. So you want to remove the weight off of that final cut. So you can make an undercut, which means you're cutting up from underneath the bottom of that limb there, and then go above that, outside of that, and start cutting down through the limb, right? So that undercut is going to have it. So when that limb starts to go down, that it's not going to tear that bark down to the main stem. At that point, you can go closer to the stem of the tree to start to make your final cuts. You're still going to want to do that undercut. So if you're right-handed, you know, I usually have my left hand on the stub there where I just made my cut. I will undercut, and then I'll go on top of that limb, and then I'll start to cut down get that final piece off. And then when I make my final cut, it's easy to look at some pictures, but on every limb where it comes off of the tree, you'll have the branch collar and the branch bark ridge. You want to make sure you're cutting that at the correct space, because the cells inside the tree are designed at that location to compartmentalize, block off decay, and it can heal over much quicker than if you make a cut that's too far away from the stem, then you're leaving a stub cut. You can very easily introduce, you know, decay into the main stem that way. Or if you cut too close to the stem, you're making a flush cut, and that's going to take exponentially longer to heal over because you've removed those healing cells from the tree.
And in just about every case, are we just letting it heal naturally? No,
yes.
Paint or goop or any of that stuff that we used to use 30, 40 years ago?
No, you don't want to do that. You know, the research is showing that actually can inhibit the healing more so than good. The only time and the only exceptions that we use pruning paint is for oaks and elms. If they have to be pruned, I shouldn't say pruned, they have to be, a cut has to be made on them outside of the dormant season. Most of the time that has to do with a mistake somebody made, maybe during a construction process, something.
Yep, we lost Luke.
Oh,
there you go, Luke.
Proper cut on that limb and then seal it. And you're just trying to keep bark beetles or pests away that do contract diseases. That's all you're trying to do with that pruning paint. It does not help with the healing process.
Well, let's talk a little bit about oak and elm and... just tell people we are not pruning those, cutting those in any way during the growing season.
No. You definitely don't want to do that. Oaks and elms are very susceptible to diseases like oak wilt, Dutch elm disease, and they need to be pruned in the dormant season. So varies a little bit, but it's usually Thanksgiving to tax day are the easy ways, to remember, when it's kind of safe to prune, but most certainly want to prune during the dormant season on those trees. And all trees can be pruned in the dormant season. But again, if you were, going to prune your crabapple or your dogwood in the dormant season, you can certainly do that. But you have to know that you're going to be removing some of those flower buds.
Right. All right. Hang in there, Luke. We're going to take a break, and we will get back to you. If you've got any tree questions, give us a call. For more information about Davy Tree or to ask what's going on with your trees, go to davy.com/KDKA. And remember, you can always call the experts like Luke from Davy Tree at 855-982-TREE. That's 855-982-8733.
Back with more in just a moment. All right, we want some tree questions. 866-391-1020. Let's talk to Rob at KDK. Rob, good morning. How are you? So here's my question.
Okay, go ahead, Rob.
You know, I love Davy Tree, and they got a podcast. And I saw, and Luke, you can help me with this, Doug. I've often wondered where mulch comes from. And I didn't get a chance to listen to the podcast. So who wants to at least give me something to work with here? So where does mulch come from? Luke, Doug, go ahead.
I mean, it comes from the tree removal process. So when we remove trees... we love to save trees, but ultimately there's, time and place when they have to come down. So we send them through a chipper, they go into a chip truck, and then we'll take them to, wood waste facilities local to the area, where we can dump them there. And then they ultimately take them, send them through like a tumbler and turn them into mulch that you can use around your home.
That's neat.
Do they dye it to make it look like the bark mulch, or does it turn that color on its own?
They have both. There's natural mulch that is undyed. They'll have, natural browns, and then they do have some dyed colors like black and the red that you see sometimes.
And how about blue?
No, my goodness. No, I can't deal with the vibrant colors. It doesn't have a place for me, but that's my opinion.
Yeah, mine too. Let's go back to pruning. Talk about the tools, You're not going out there with the old-fashioned saw, that we used to use back in the day to cut a 2x4. We're using proper pruning tools. So let's start with a pruning saw.
Yeah, excuse me. Pruning saws, whether they're fixed or like straight or they're folded and collapsible, The big thing is making sure that they're sharp and that they're clean. If you are pruning outside of the dormant season where diseases can be out there and persistent, then you want to sterilize, in between cuts. And that's whether you're using a saw or hand pruners, if you want to, move on to that one. But a good set of just little hand snips, probably the most useful tool that any gardener or arborist can have. You can make very clean, good cuts with hand snips. Oftentimes people use saws where it's not, wouldn't really be recommended, and they'll, in turn trying to cut off some water sprouts or something, will cut through that water sprout and right into the trunk of the tree, where they probably wouldn't have with hand pruners.
Okay, we got a question.
Let's talk to Lori. Hey, Lori, how are you? Welcome to KDKA.
Hi, it's Lori. Thanks so much for taking my call. I have a question about my flowering dogwood. This year, it's a mature tree that this year it hardly had any blossoms, and the leaves are curled and kind of spotted. I think it may be sick, but I'm not sure.
What
is there
do you
anything
think,
I could do to help it?
What do you think, Luke? Is this a situation where the arborist must be on site?
Certainly getting an arborist eyes on that tree is going to be the best thing. They can determine what might be going on, but it does sound like you might have a leaf disease called dogwood anthracnose. That disease is contracted earlier in the spring as the leaves are growing, and that's ultimately when you would apply fungicides to protect it from contracting it. But the good thing is since it is a leaf disease, as those leaves drop, next year you have a new start, new beginning to start over. So unless it's had it year after year after year where you're going to have some branch dieback, it's probably, not that big of a deal because we'll be able to get on it and start taking care of it the next year.
And here's the thing. A Davey arborist will come for free to take a look. And we talk about this a lot. A certified arborist like Luke has this code of ethics. And that's what I love about working with a certified arborist. I know that he's not going to try and sell me something I don't need. And oftentimes, Luke, you'll come for free, but you can tell people there's no work that needs to be done in some cases, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that happens all the time, and that's just the learning process. So, oftentimes you go to a property, and there's nothing that might need done right now, but, we might find some things that, hey, in a handful of years, you're going to be ready to prune those trees, or these are going to be ready. So don't ever, think something's too small to give us a call for. Again, like Doug said, we come out for free. Inspect the property, and we'll be glad to walk around and do a property consultation with you.
Well, look, you've been on my property. You know that every year I need something done with those big oak trees in decline. So when we talk about the hand pruners, are you guys using exclusively like a bypass pruner? Is that the style of pruner you use, or are there other ones?
We primarily use those, the bypass style, both in, the larger, like, whopper size and then, like, your hand size. But those are the most common ones we use. We don't have any real, allegiance to brand or anything.
Is most of your pruning done during the dormant season?
Well, we prune year-round, so it very much depends on each client's goals and expectations.
Mm-hmm.
While we're talking, today about how to maximize the flower production, other people may be more concerned about aesthetics or overall size control of the tree or shrub itself. So it varies with each client and their goals and expectations.
All right, Luke, I want to thank you so much for coming on the show again. It was great to talk to you. We'll talk to you soon. For more information about Davey Tree or to ask what's going on with your trees, go to davey.com/KDK. And remember, you can always call the experts from Davey Tree at 855-982-TREE. That's 855-982-8733. Now join me today, 1 o'clock, Bedner's Farm and Greenhouse. It is down off the I-79 Bridgeville exit for part 2 of the Seed to Supper Free Vegetable Gardening Workshop. I'd love to see you today. Next week, Steve Rapaski will host the show. I'm answering questions after the show, too. Remember, organic gardeners, you make our world brighter and safer with each seed you sow and every garden you grow.
All right, there he goes. And coming up after the news at 8, it's Frank Dentisi. Outdoor parties and picnics. Countdown to Dad's Day next.